it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour, the inside look at the black and gold Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, and joined by Justin Reed, first-year safety, Dutchtown Geismar, Dutchtown High School, Louisiana native. How are you doing, sir? Welcome to the show.
Man, I'm great. I'm excited to be here, Mike. Appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come on board with you.
Got to ask you just a little bit. Have you been following Dutchtown? 4-1, 2-0, just beat Santamont. Do you follow it a little bit still?
Yeah, you know what? Times have changed, but not much has changed. Still whooping up on the Santamont Gators. I love that. And, you know, the guys at that program are always fun to watch. My brother was actually there. He got inducted into the Dutchtown's Athletic Hall of Fame about a week or two ago. So that was pretty cool.
So, you know, now I got to ask, are you there?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I actually beat him to it.
Okay.
Slight flex.
I want to talk about the position first. So you come into camp, it's you and Tyron, Terrell Burgess. So between you, you know, you got like four Super Bowl rings. And now, you know, you're with Jonas, who's playing great, Terrell, Kool-Aid, Quincy, Jordan Howden. Alante's now like the old, he's the old guy in the cornerback room. It feels like your role has kind of changed a little bit, right?
Yeah, and it has. And, you know, that's what the NFL is it's gone from a role to where we had so much experience on the back end, and very quickly, we just turned very young, right? Very, very quickly, especially after that first game when Julian got hurt. And, you know, there's some pros and cons to that. One of the cons is, you know, when you have a bunch of young players on the field, there is going to be some growing pains that's going to happen with that, right? Because experience is the best teacher. But it also is just a major opportunity for young guys to get on the field early, make a place for themselves, start making some plays, build some confidence. And, you know, down the road, that experience that they're getting now is going to be extremely valuable. And Jonas has really taken that by the reins. He's played exceptional. You know, there's still going to be mistakes here or there, but they're all mistakes that I don't see that he would continue to make over and over again. That's just one of those experience things that I talked about earlier. And my role with the team has migrated into still being a role model by my play first. And secondly, just making sure I'm getting these young guys ready to play and that they're confident and know what the checks are, and just get to go out there and play fast and see if I can take some things off their plates so they don't think as much and can just play more quickly.
And I don't think there's a better analogy that it gets said, but the ability to play fast, that half a beat of thinking is a lifetime in pro football, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the difference. That's where, you know, you hear the term separation, good for offense, bad for defense. That's where separation comes from. You know, a guy pauses for a second too long and then, you know, he might miss a gap or a guy gets a step on him or whatever it is.
And they need somebody who's kind of been there. And so for people that for these young guys, I'm like, oh, we got the Super Bowl champ who's coming. And so he doesn't, but they don't maybe have know that you went through 4-12. You went through 4-13 at Houston. You understand, you know, what it is to fight through these tough times and come out on the other end.
Yeah, I've lived every side of the coin. Been on great teams that fell short, been on teams that struggled through the season, and of course been on Super Bowl teams. And one of the things that's most obvious to me through my experience is the culture of each of those systems and where is that culturally, right? And, you know, you hear head coaches a lot speak about building the culture, but as a player and as one of the guys, like your veterans built the culture of the team, as a guy who's been in different cultures, having the right culture is critical. I mean, it's so, it can't be understated enough how big having the right culture is Even in moments like this, that if you build the right culture, you have the right process, even if you're not getting the result now, you build on it and you build on it, you do it the right way, the results will come and your foundation will be stronger because of it. And that's really what Kellen is preaching. That's what our veteran players are preaching. That's what I'm preaching. It's just continue to buy into the process, do things the right way, time and time again. The results are going to come. We're going to continue to build this ship right. And everything that we want to do this year is still in front of us.
You arrived from a team, obviously with the culture in Kansas City. What was your first impression of the culture here that had been built by Mickey and Sean and winning year after year? What was your first impression of the culture here?
Well, everything is just so new. I mean, it was new faces all over the place. Like, there, from my experience stepping into the building, because there was a new head coach, a new defensive coordinator, half the roster was new faces. You know what I mean? There was a little bit of a culture, that Cam and DeMario brought, but there's so many new faces across the board, staff and player-wise, that, it was really just open for the culture to be built, right? So when I stepped into the building, it was interesting to be able to be a part of that process and got to have one-on-one conversations with Coach Moore and other people in the front office, as well as the veteran players, about how we want to build this thing and how we want it to look, and just committing fully to that. It was new. Everything was new. And what comes with newness is some growing pains, which I think everyone understood. But we're not allowing that to be an excuse for us. It's just understanding what comes with it, but still attacking it each and every day and building it the right way.
Couple of more football questions, and I want to talk about all the foundation work that you're doing. And clearly, from a defensive unit, there are things that I know that you can't tolerate. And when teams come up and score their first two possessions, and to put you're fighting uphill. I don't know you that well, but I know you well, and I've been around a long time. That's driving you guys nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely unacceptable. I mean, it's you can't put yourself behind the eight ball. We can win any game in the NFL, but there's not many teams winning games in the NFL that are consistently giving up 14 points in the first quarter. It's just not something that is what winning teams and winning cultures do. And it's not a talent issue. It's not a talent issue. It's not a scheme issue. It's an execution thing, right? It's just about taking the concepts and the pattern match that we do during practice and bringing it with us on Sunday. Right now, it feels like it's taking a bit too long for guys to settle in. And again, I know there's so much youth on the field, and it is different from my perspective as a guy who's played long enough now that the games literally feel like practice. Like, my heart rate doesn't get sped up on a regular season game, but still. Being able to translate the things that we do in practice to the game, and not letting it take a whole quarter before we settle in and start playing strong defense. You look at our second half defense through the year, I mean, it's been outstanding. But we have to be able to do that the entire length of the game, and it's not acceptable to keep allowing 14 points in the first quarter.
And as you well know, 1-5, new head coach, three of your next four on the road, it doesn't get easier. And so the noise outside is going to get louder, and it's going to be so important for you yourself and the Cams and the DeMarios, the close ranks and shut out the noise from outside.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone has an opinion. Everyone's allowed to have an opinion. But what matters to us inside of the building are just the people between the walls, right? And you get into a lot of trouble. As I said, I've been on teams that have been successful, and I've been on teams that haven't been. And one of the marks of a strong culture and successful teams is being able to keep things between the walls of the building and not allow outside noise to create distractions and influence that ends up being toxic and cancerous to the culture of the team, right? So we know that people are going to have opinions. Everyone has a right to have an opinion. We know some of our fans are upset with where we are right now. We're upset with where we are right now. But we're going to continue to build things the right way. We're not going to allow it to become a toxic environment, because if that happens, then you just end up wasting a year, you waste a season, and you don't stand a chance.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to talk about jreedindeed.com and all of the great things that Justin Reed is doing. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas along with Justin Reed, Saints safety. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. And there are foundations, but I don't know that I've seen a lot of foundations that go New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Houston, Kansas City. That's where you've been, right? And so that's where you are. I guess talk about how Jay Reed, indeed, just as it's spelled, .com, how it kind of came about and what your goals were.
Yeah, so the motivation behind my foundation kind of follows my journey and my life story. Like I said, grew up in Prairieville, played at Dutchtown. Wasn't exactly the most tech savvy coming out of high school. I was always good with numbers at math and stuff, horrible at writing papers, but I was always good with numbers, but I wasn't a tech guy by any means. Not at all. End up committing to Stanford. And there's a couple of things that I noticed from going from Louisiana to Stanford. Some of the things being, one, I felt completely out of my element when I stepped into my first coding class, because every student at Stanford is required to take a coding class regardless of your major. Doesn't matter what it is. Felt completely out of the water, but I learned after about a week of doing it that I was like, hey, you know what? This isn't nearly as intimidating or scary as I originally thought it was. That exposure, keyword there, exposure, that exposure to it really just made everything so much simpler. And I found out that not only did I kind of like it, but I was actually good at it. And I would have never known that if I wasn't exposed to it. And then the second thing I noticed between where I grew up with the kids that I grew up with and the kids that were at Stanford University was that the kids weren't that different. You know what I mean? Like everyone is pretty much the same. But I did notice that some access to resources and some upbringing, that was really the difference. And I wanted to be able to bridge that gap. I wanted to be able to remove some of the obstacles to access to education. I want to be able to teach kids some life skills and skills that would be able to serve them a lifetime and help them have hope and have future and not feel like they have to go to the streets to find answers to how to survive. We try and do it in fun ways. We bring athletics into it. We bring music into it. We do programs where kids get to make their own beats. We allow them to build games. One of the things kids really enjoy is on our cybersecurity chapter, we have the kids break into a fake bank that we set up, and they really enjoy doing that. But they're learning what cybersecurity is and where the downfalls are on the security side, as well as what people do to attack them, so that they learn those skills on both sides of the fence. And we make it fun. We allow the kids to have a great time. We're really proud of the program that we built. It followed me everywhere that I've gone, Houston, Louisiana, Kansas City, and we like to stay connected to the communities that we touch.
So one that is happening now is Fully Charged, a partnership with Best Buy, Teen Tech Center, New Orleans Public Library. It's October 4th, obviously through December, but it's like six sessions. And again, coding is one of them, and I'm with you. Like, I'm old, so to me, coding might as well be Latin. But I watch these, I go to STEM, things in the summer with young kids. And it's like, I almost say they're like young defensive backs. They don't know what they don't know. And so coding to them, they're like, I don't know what it is. Let's give it a shot. And they're not intimidated because it's an intimidating world. And so in Fully Charged, they develop their own video game, and coding is a part of it. And they can sign up through jreedindeed.com?
Yeah, they can sign up through our website. It's probably the most straightforward way to do it, jreedindeed.com. And yeah, we've had tremendous feedback from students that had a little bit of experience, students that had no experience. From every stage of a starting point, we've had tremendous feedback on what these kids have learned, and we have a lot of repeat campers because they enjoyed their experience so much. They got to learn a lot of things. And we got to put them on, in a space where they got to connect with their peers and allow that creativity to flourish.
And my guess is you had me at develop your own video game, right? But well done. And I don't know. I apologize for not knowing the impact of what this means, but you were the Week 6 NFLPA Community MVP. I guess tell me a little bit about what that means.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tremendous honor. We get a nice grant from the NFLPA for being named that. And it was as a result of our fully charged program that we do during the school year. So we do multiple activations. We do holiday stuff. We do holiday giveaways. The last 2 years, we gave away a car during Christmas. But our during the year program, we like to get ingrained and do our fully charged program, which is taking place at the Teen Tech Center at the New Orleans Public Library, where we teach them. Most recently was a quick game on building a character and using facial recognition and that software there to have their game character track their face and movement and create a game out of that. So students did different things with that. It's kind of like a Snapchat filter. If you think about the filters that are put on your face, we allowed them to create their own filter and then make a game out of that. And then, that helps us fund our program that we do during the summertime, which is our Tackling Tech Summer Science Summer program, which is where we really get granular into the nitty-gritty and do a whole bunch of fun things in robotics and coding, activations, have guest speakers come. It's a really, really great thing. We're really proud of it.
And that is underway in Kansas City, looking to launch in New Orleans for 2026, and which is awesome because, and I would assume that part of your message to these young people, boys and girls, is that they don't, I don't know if they understand the need for computer science, for computer technology, for cybersecurity, that they're talking about. This isn't just something to do in the summer. There's a great need from a professional situation out there for them and a future.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our things, we have Microsoft as a partner, and one of the things I really believe in is that if a kid is proficient in Excel, you know how to work a data sheet, you will get a job anywhere in the country. Anywhere. I mean, that being proficient in Excel is more powerful than some college degrees. And on top of that, we also teach them how to work with AI. I mean, the modern age that we live in is everything is tech driven, from your iPhone to allowing computers to, do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. That if you know how to communicate with them properly, I mean, the sky is the limit at what you're able to do. And we believe that, you don't grow when you're doing things that you've always done before. You grow when you try new things and you get out of your element. And that's part of what we push too, is because we want kids to be confident and try new experiences.
It is a public-private endeavor because, quite frankly, if it were just public, it wouldn't happen. There's not enough. And it is what it is. And so you need that public-private partnership. And coming up on December 8th, you have teed up. It's going to be at the 504 right there off of Howard Avenue. And that will help, if I'm right, fund the Tackling Tech summer program that you want to start in New Orleans for 26, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Every dollar, so we operate in three states, four cities. Every dollar raised in that state stays in that state. So every dollar raised in New Orleans will stay in New Orleans. It'll be fed right back into New Orleans and Baton Rouge communities to help equip these kids to have a stronger chance at a brighter future.
That's December 8th. Check it out. Go look to jreedindeed.com. So, do you play golf?
Oh man, I have a major golf addiction. Huge, huge golf addiction. I play it a lot. They got my teammates know about it.
So take out, I'm going to be, I think it's fair. We're going to take Jake Haener off the list. I don't think it's fair. His
Jake
guy's
is
a plus.
cold.
He's
Jake
a
is
plus
cold.
one. And yeah, so are you pretty good?
I'm about a minus six.
Ah,
So
very
I'm
good.
decent. I'm decent. I can keep up pretty well. I can hit the ball a long way. I need to work on my putting. My putting is what's keeping me from getting a scratch right now.
Well,
But I'm pretty good.
final question. You have two choices. You can make a game sealing interception, right? Deep pass, you make the game sealing interception, or Blake Grubby tweaks a hamstring in the first half and you kick the game winning 45-yard field goal to win the game. What do you pick?
I would never wish an injury on
No,
Blake.
I know. No, he just
So
tweaked. It's a tweak. It's a tweak.
I'll take the interception because my primary spot. But boy, I tell you what, if I got to kick a field goal 45 yards and win a game, that would be the most insane feeling ever.
When I first heard that you were kicking off, I was kind of like, oh, well, wait a minute, who was hurt? But then it kind of made sense that you get an extra
No, it's like a cheat
defender,
code. The way that the dynamic kickoff rules are this year, it's like a cheat code. When I did it last season, a couple of games, I had like three tackles on kickoff because I'm just running down there unblocked.
What you're doing is great. Continue. J R E I D, J Reed, Indeed, INDEED.com. Get into the foundation, get into the, really fully charged and everything that's out there. And, best of luck in Chicago. And we really appreciate your time.
Appreciate you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.